Let's continue reading verses 1 through 16 of Romans 16. Now, in this first section of the last chapter of Romans, we have Paul's greetings to a number of individual Christians at Rome. And the hardest part about this section is reading the names and pronouncing them correctly. Romans 16, beginning at verse 1. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the firstfruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amphilus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Well, let's begin this section with some background notes. As we read this long list of Christian names at the end of Paul's letter to the Romans, we are amazed at the number of Christian contacts that Paul had in Rome. Remember, Paul had not been to Rome yet, and when he does get there, he comes as a prisoner. And yet, Paul knows many of the believers there in Rome by name, and he sends them personal greetings. Well, you see, Paul had crossed paths with some of these Christians in his missionary travels. Others he probably hadn't met personally, but he was told about them. And notice how the Apostle Paul does not only remember their names, but he is aware of how they are doing, what house church they are meeting in, how they are doing spiritually, and what they are doing to serve the Lord. Paul, you see, has the true heart of a pastor. He knew the flock. What a lesson for us. Now, when we read of the household of Aristobulus in verse 10 and Narcissus in verse 11, we understand this to mean not just the immediate family, but the servants as well. You see, there were many Christian slaves in the early church. And many times you would have a Christian household. That is, Christian parents, Christian children, and Christian slaves as well. In verse 5, we read about the church that met in the home of Priscilla and Aquila. Now remember that until the Roman persecutions were over, there were no public church buildings. The early Christians met in homes or other places, even the catacombs. Most likely, two other household churches are in view in verses 14 and 15 because of the phrases, and the brethren who are with them, verse 14, and all the saints who are with them, verse 15. In verse 5, the Asia that is mentioned here, I'm sure you know, is not the Asia of today where Russia and China are located. No, this would be the first century Roman province of Asia where eastern Turkey is located today. The Herodian of verse 11 may have been a member of Herod's family. The Rufus of verse 13 may be the Rufus who was the son of Simon of Cyrene, who carried the cross of Christ, Mark 15:21. If so, it would seem that the mother of Rufus probably now a widow, had become like a mother to Paul, showing motherly affection to him. Well, so much for our background notes. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, committed Christian women can be greatly used by God. Committed Christian women can be greatly used by God. Verses 1 and 2. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Phoebe was a committed Christian woman, and she was greatly used by God. Now, whether Phoebe was married or not, we can't be sure, but it would seem that she was a single woman. She was from the church at Cenchrea. That was a seaport town near Corinth. Most likely, Phoebe was the one who carried this letter from Paul to Rome. Remember that Paul was in Corinth when he wrote this letter to the Romans. Phoebe is called a servant or deaconess of the church in verse 1. Now, this does not mean that there was an official order of deaconesses at Cenchrea. The word in Greek that's translated deaconess is just servant. However, she may have been recognized at the church at Cenchrea as having the office of a deaconess. That's possible, in addition to just serving the Lord in general. In any case, Phoebe is a respected servant of the Lord and highly commended by the Apostle Paul. She is to be assisted with whatever need she has when she comes to Rome. Now, you know, there are many modern-day Phoebes, committed Christian women being greatly used by the Lord. You know, I'm thinking right now of a single Christian woman who has faithfully served the Lord for close to 50 years in Congo, Africa. Well, she has been used mightily of God. Many, many believers of all ages owe their spiritual lives to her. Now, women here this morning, don't think you have to go off to the foreign mission field to be a Phoebe. Just commit yourself to the Lord and His work, and He will continue to open doors for service for you personally. There are Phoebes right in this audience this morning. Note verse 6 also. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Here's another committed Christian woman, used greatly by God. And look at verse 12. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Here again, three more committed Christian women being used greatly of God. Committed Christian women can be greatly used by God. Doctrinal point number two. Committed Christian couples can be greatly used by God. Committed Christian couples can be greatly used by God. Verses 3 and 4. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Priscilla and Aquila were a committed Christian couple. Whether they had kids or not, we don't know, but they were a committed Christian couple. They even risked their own necks for Paul's life. Now, when and where that took place, we don't have in the record in Acts. You know, it looks like we have two more committed Christian couples in this chapter. Verse 7, greet Andronicus and Junia. And then verse 15, greet Philologus and Julia. Again, it looks like we have here two more committed Christian couples in this chapter. Now, Priscilla and Aquila, of course, they're the most well-known committed Christian couple in the New Testament. We first find them at Corinth in Acts chapter 18. Paul worked with them in the tent-making trade. So here we have a committed Christian couple working together, making tents, and working for the Lord at the same time. Great lesson for us. Priscilla and Aquila moved to Ephesus when Paul traveled there. And at Ephesus, they ministered out of their home. They taught Apollos, the great preacher there. We see from 1 Corinthians 16 that a church at Ephesus met in their home. And now here in Romans 16, we see that they are back in Rome. And once again, a church is meeting in their home. Here is a committed Christian couple, and they are greatly used of God. I just wonder how many of their nice first century lamps and first century dishes got broken by having all those people in their home each week. I wonder if their good furniture got all scratched up by having the youth group meet in their home. What difference does it make now, right? If only more of us would catch this concept. Use your home for God, even though your stuff may get damaged. 100 years from now, what difference will it make? But 100 years from now, your commitment now will make a difference. You know, Margie and I know of a young Christian couple on the East Coast that have really committed themselves to serving the Lord. They serve others all the time, and in that way, they're serving the Lord. They have touched the lives of many for God. They have greatly edified the body of Christ. But maybe you're a Christian couple here this morning and you're not committed. Listen, you can do the same. You can be a Priscilla and Aquila team. It's not so much a matter of gift. It's a matter of commitment. Committed Christian couples can be greatly used of God. Well, very quickly, let's take two practical applications here. Practical application number one. Don't forget to commend faithful believers. Don't forget to commend faithful believers. We see that Paul always commended faithful believers. This was characteristic of the Apostle Paul. What an encouragement it must have been for these believers at Rome to get this letter and see their names there. Well, you know, we should do the same. When you see a brother or sister giving of themselves to the Lord, commend them. Don't discourage them by negative comments because it doesn't quite meet what you expected or what you would like. No, encourage them. Commend them. I try to do this with my students. I know how motivating, encouraging comments have been to me in my Christian life. So now we all have that responsibility. We all need to do this. Don't forget to commend faithful believers. And practical application number two. Would you make it on Paul's greeting list? Would you make it on Paul's greeting list? In this first section of Romans 16, we've read a number of names of faithful Christians. These were all Christians in the church at Rome, but they were not all the Christians at Rome. They were particularly singled out by Paul because they were laboring for the Lord. They were not just attending church. They were involved. And remember, this is God's list, not just Paul's list, because this is Scripture. Suppose the Apostle Paul were to write a letter to this church. Greetings to the saints gathered in the name of the Lord at Elgin, Illinois. Would your name be included in the greeting list at the end of the letter? Would you be known by the Apostle Paul because you're faithful and involved in the work of the Lord? Or would your name be missing? Good question, isn't it? Would you make it on Paul's greeting list?